My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. The S&P 500 crosses above 5000. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, a year ago, statisticians overhauled the Consumer Price Index by quite a bit. There were concerns it would happen again, thereby prices being maybe not as tame as they had looked, but today's revision was a big nothing, NBD. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
This is an example of they got it right to begin with. They didn't have to make big changes, and it's a relief because the message on inflation all through 2023 was that it was moving steadily lower, and after the revisions, it's moving steadily lower.
And our central bankers who set interest rates don't even pay attention to this CPI all that much. They look at this other thing, personal consumption expenditures. What has that been telling us?
Well, that's right. We look at the CPI because it comes out a few weeks earlier, but the one that really counts was at 2% at an annual rate in the third quarter and 2% at an annual rate in the fourth quarter. It's already at the Fed's target.
Chris, you can go answer your ringing wristwatch there, my friend. Wow, we live in the future. The popular index for people looking for low-fee stock investments, the S&P 500, crossed above 5,000 for the first time yesterday, but closed just below. But right now it is at 5,002 points, up less than a tenth of a percent, fueled by corporate profits and falling, inflation. The NASDAQ is up 0.3%. The Dow is down 74 points, 0.2%. European scientists say they have reached an important milestone to make practical nuclear fusion, which could one day, will we or our children ever see it, create plentiful, clean, and cheap energy. The JET laboratory in Britain has broken a world record for energy extracted by really squeezing two kinds of hydrogen. Here's the BBC's Palab Ghosh.
If nuclear fusion could be successfully recreated on Earth, it could eventually provide virtually unlimited supplies of cheap, low-carbon energy. It differs from current nuclear power, which releases energy by splitting atoms apart. Instead, this process involves fusing the inside of atoms together and has the benefit of no highly radioactive waste. Since the 1950s, researchers have said that fusion power plants that provide large amounts of power are between 20 and 30 years away. They still do. The JET lab in Oxfordshire has finished its work, and this was its final result. It's to be replaced by the £17 billion ITER experiment in southern France, due to start in the mid-2030s. British nuclear leaders say that they're keen to contribute.
And the Biden administration today announced $5 billion will go into a public-private consortium, to develop next-generation computer chips. The National Semiconductor Technology Center is an effort to reinvigorate the U.S. semiconductor industry. A Texas Instruments engineer named Jack Kilby is credited with the first microchip in 1958. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
I insist on moderation, so you are not allowed a drinking game during the Super Bowl where you take a swig every time CBS cuts to Taylor Swift during the game. There are two football teams, the Niners and the Chiefs, and there are the ads. Janine Poggi, editor-in-chief of Ad Age, joins us. Hello.
Hi.
We are speaking in a world that's after the Bud Light situation, which got a tidal wave of backlash for collaborating with transgender actress and social media influencer Dylan Mulvaney to the point where Bud Light is no longer the top-selling beer in America. Given that, are we going to see a lot of issues-oriented ads with political messages this time around?
I would say the last couple of years, you really saw brands playing it safe. Very few, if any, have been wading into anything that could even be perceived as controversial. And it's really not a place, especially when you're spending $7 million, that you really want to divide the country.
Now, we do keep an eye on the research that Ad Age does, that your team does, regarding diversity, not just of the ad images themselves, but also the people behind the camera and the production staff. Still tracking that?
We are. We're knee deep in all of that research right now. As you can imagine, it is something that is incredibly difficult to do. The brands, it's been very hard to track down real stats of, you know, behind the scenes, especially, which is really what we care about, you know, on top of the casting of who is actually working on these commercials behind the scenes. Right now, it appears as though the trend line remains the same from last year. I think it's pretty steady. We're not seeing any major uptick. One thing I'm really surprised about that hasn't changed, and we'll have more on this, is accessibility in Super Bowl commercials. Talking about the disabled community, it's one area where you talk about, you know, inclusivity and even accessibility as it comes to closed captioning in Super Bowl ads is not something many brands are really thinking about right now. And that's one thing so far that's standing out to me. I thought that would change year to year, and it doesn't appear that it has.
Yeah, but there's one ad that does address, was it disability?
Yes. So the Google ad, it was actually a shot by a blind director, Adam Morris, and it shows and it puts viewers into the shoes of what it would be like to be a visually impaired person.
For many people with blindness or low vision, there hasn't always been an easy way to capture daily life.
One face cropped. Move your phone down. One face in frame. Hold for photo.
And the whole thing shot, he put petroleum jelly on the camera to give the effect of being visually impaired. And it actually promotes Google's feature on its Pixel phone that helps people with visual impairment help take photos. I think that one will stand out, especially when you look at all of the sea of humor. It's definitely a positive message and one of belonging.
Janine Poggi, editor at Ad Age, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
In past years, the Super Bowl has been full of crypto companies. What's your bet on how many are there this year? More of our conversation is in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed or online at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.